reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, a nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins, told them, engage in trade with these until I return. His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want this man to be our king. But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had his servants called, to whom he had given the money, to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came and reported, your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more. And to this servant too, he said, you, take charge of 5 cities. Then the other servant came and said, sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you are a demanding man. You take up what you didn't lay down and you harvest what you didn't plant. He said to him, with your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I didn't lay down and harvesting what I didn't plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest. And to those standing by he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he has 10 gold coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel is very similar to Sunday's Gospel from St. Matthew. The only difference is in the number of coins that is given and then the historical context. Jesus was framing it within what Herod Antipas had actually done, that he had gone to Rome in order to be confirmed by Caesar. People sent a delegation saying they didn't want him to be king. Then when he returned, he slayed everybody. But he used that journey outside in the entrustment and the stewardship given as the context for something for each of us with regard to heaven. As we talked about on Sunday, the greatest talents that we've received are not our own singing ability or our intellectual or emotional intelligence or our ability to be a great athlete or a great cook or a great carpenter. The greatest gifts of all that we've received are the gifts of faith, the gifts of the sacraments, the gift of the opportunity of prayer, the gift of grace in the moral life. And this is what we're called to bear great dividends with. St. Gertrude, whom we celebrate today, learned this lesson. She had been a religious for many years. She had been dropped off at the convent when she was 5 or 6. She received an incredible education. She was one of the most intelligent women of her day, very, very eloquent in her Latin writing. But she had a conversion when she was in her 20s. Conversion in 2 ways. First, in terms of her study and learning. She had the conversion from being a grammarian to a theologian. Prior to that part, she had used the intellectual abilities with which God had graced her, precisely to study profane things, ordinary things, rhetoric, etc. And at that time she recognized she needed to use her brain to study the Bible, to really study the liturgy, to read the lives of the saints, to really invest that gift where it would pay more dividends into eternal life, and she did. The second was in the monastic life. She was there in a Benedictine convent. She recognized that what she needed to do was not just go through the motions with lukewarmness, fulfilling all the externals of the rule, but her heart being elsewhere, that she needed to be all in and really learn how to pray. The Lord himself began to appear to her, mystically espouse her, guide her through the mysteries of his own Sacred Heart before that would become a much popular devotion in much of the church. She shows us how to invest our talents. We have, all of us, some free time. How do we spend it? Reading the newspaper, reading the internet, watching television, reading fiction, perhaps, that has no big impact on our growth of faith? Or are we going to spend that time in real study of our faith? Are we going to go through the motions of the faith, merely showing up? Or are we going to ask the Lord to light us truly on fire? It's what St. Gertrude shows us. The first reading, I think, is likewise important, both to understand Gertrude's life as well as to understand our life in the role of parents in the church, the role of priests, and the role of Mother Church as a whole. Gertrude's parents dropped her off at the convent when she was 5 or 6, not because they didn't want to raise her, but because they actually loved her very much and recognized that the best use of her life was not holding her close, as sometimes parents do, because they love their children and they want to be surrounded by their children, but they wanted her to be able to bear the greatest fruit in the gift of her life. And they recognized that that would come through that type of life. Eventually, she'd be able to decide whether she wanted to become a nun or not. She was going there for an education, but they were preparing her to give all. And unsurprisingly, later, she decided to give all freely. In the first reading, we see what this mother in the Book of Maccabees did. She prepared all her sons in order to live the faith in a way that they would be able to be true to the faith even under the greatest duress. What an heroic mom. What valiant sons. I think back to Japan in the 1600s, where the church was incredibly persecuted, and the parents would teach their kids how to become martyrs. They'd show them what to do if they were being threatened, how to remain faithful. And so many of these kids did in ways that has inspired the church ever since. That's what parents are called to do, to train their kids to be faithful even in the midst of the greatest temptations. And that's the role of the church, to prepare us all to be martyrs, not to just do a little, but to give it all. If we don't do that, we fail. I remember when I was growing up as a young boy in my parish, I had talked to my pastor at the time and asked him about preaching. From the time I was 4, I was thinking about becoming a priest, so I was taking notes all the way along the journey. And he said to me, well, it's just to ask them to do a little bit better and to give them something to think about over the course of the day. And, you know, I don't know how old I was at the time, 9, 10. I just asked him, is doing a little bit better all that God asks, or is he asking something more? And the pastor laughed a little bit at the question from a young boy, but it always stuck. He told me about 10 years later, you know, I've never forgotten that question about whether it's enough to do it, because we are supposed to be prepared for greatness. That's the role of the church. We've been given the gift of the talent of our life. The way we're going to invest it is not by being timid and investing it a little. The way we're going to bear 10 coins in response to the 10 invested is when we've already made up our mind that we're all in, not just part of us, but all of it. 100% of our mind, 100% of our heart, that we're not going through the motions, that we're really seeking to bear that maximal fruit. Anything short of that is not really worthy of the church. As we come forward where Jesus gives all to us, he sets that standard. He sets the measure, but he doesn't make it an impossible standard. He nourishes us with his word and with the word made flesh to make this possible, little by little perhaps, but with a clear goal on, it would clear eyes on that goal. May he, St. Gertrude, St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland, this indomitable mother, intercede for us so that we might bear that fruit and come to that eternal kingdom. End of the homily. Now I need to talk to you a little bit about praying the Mass. There is a role for each of us in praying the Mass. And you have got an important Mass. And I just have to give you a little bit of feedback. I can't hear you. When I finished that closing prayer, I couldn't hear anybody except my two altar boys say amen. When we do those dialogues, what I say to you is a real prayer that it's important for you to hear, but it's also important for me to be able to hear you back. And we've gotten a little bit into a habit, I think, in which people just say things very, very softly to themselves. But there's a real dialogue that's supposed to be happening. At the dialogue for the opening of the gospel, the only person I could hear was Maria. And that's got to change. This is a part of the Mass. We're all supposed to be praying it together. And it's supposed to be that dialogue. So we need one of two things, or both two things. One, perhaps people need to move forward. But then second, you need to use the diaphragms and the lungs you say. This isn't just something for yourself. This has got to be a loving dialogue. That's what happens in the Mass. And so please take that seriously. Please pump up the volume and the fire with which you say your responses to the prayers of the Mass. And if you must, please change so that we can have that type of dialogue in the Lord. Pope Benedict always talks about the Ars Celebrandi. He talks about it first with the priest, how to pray the Mass appropriately. But there's also an Ars Celebrandi for all the faithful coming forward. And it's enthusiastically and wholeheartedly praying, not mumbling softly, praying the prayers of the Mass. So please work on that so that, just like St. Gertrude in her own way had that conversion to the way she looked at the liturgy, wasn't just going through the motions with low temp, but she was on fire with it and really entered fully on into it. That with a contemplative heart, but with a loud voice, please enter into this prayer.